It's Tuesday, June 28th. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd the Geek, and hey, I'm back in Hawaii. Woohoo! And wow, what an amazing trip we had to Gnome Dex. And we're going to talk about that a whole lot more, but first of all, I want to welcome all the new listeners, and if you haven't listen to the show before, make sure you check out our primary website at geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content that's on there, along with the archive, the podcast archive, what's available via the podcast link. And make sure you sign up for our newsletter also. We've been adding a lot of people to that list, and we want to make sure that you're on there also. Hey, folks, how's everyone doing? I am glad to be back in Hawaii because... what a trip. And I tell you, I kind of felt out of my element. I had made all the plans. You know, I had everything set up for the portable podcasting rig. I had everything wired in the hotel. But by the time we got done with everything in the evenings and having dinner and, oh, I tell you what, and dealing with jet lag, you know, you go down and you real have a quick turnaround. You're only 2 or 3 days there. Oh, my goodness. I was absolutely wiped out. And that first night that I did a show, actually night of the initial get-together, Thursday evening when I got back to the room, I guess I got back about 10:30 or 11, something like that. And by the time I got ready to do the show, it was almost midnight. I could barely navigate. I think I finished it up by about 2. Matter of fact, I listened to part of that show on the way home, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what did you do? But, it was crazy, and I got a lot of good info for you. And, first of all, I guess I want to I'm going to point you guys at a couple of websites, because I've been involved in a couple of interviews recently, and those interviews are either online now, or they are some shows that I've been involved with. One of those was... we had wrapped up at Gnome Dex on Saturday, Rob Greenlee had his, we did a little web talk radio roundtable, had Mitch Ratcliffe, JD Lassica, had myself, the M Show host, Podcast 401, PodcastingNews.com's editors. So who else was there? Andy McCaskey from Slashdot Review. So we had a great roundtable discussion. Of course, Chris Perlow came in, and I think there's about 60 minutes of just basically reflections on the some things that happened. You know, just almost, I think it was 60 minutes of reflections of one session, and that turned out real good. Now, along with that, there's on IT Conversations this week, there is a interview that I did that is up on there. So if you want to check out that, that kind of gets into some insight on what I, you know, my thoughts are on podcasting. But that's just a couple of the shows that I've been on and something I wanted to point you at. Now, we learned a lot on this trip, and we're going to make some changes when we go to Podcast Expo in November, because we need to have our sound system and everything on site. It just did not, you know, I had my little portable unit that I had with me, but we need to have our full studio in, basically with us, in the hall where the convention's going down or the conferences, because it just was almost impossible to do roundtable stuff the way we wanted to. Initially, so we've got a game plan, and we know what we're going to try to accomplish for a podcast expo. And matter of fact, I've got a phone call into Tim Borkin this morning to try to secure space on the premises at Podcast Expo for the Tech Podcast Group, so that, because almost all the TechPodcast.com members are going to be at the Podcast Expo, so we should be able to produce a whole bunch of great stuff. You know, that was kind of the plan for GnomeDex, but it really did not go down the way we expected it to. And plus, we were trying to stay up with all the, meet all the people, doing the networking and talk. And I just run down a little bit of the people that, just a few of the podcasting people that I talked to. I talked, of course, to Philip Tyrone from Make Magazine. And that man is amazing. He is not only an editor, he is a true geek. You know, he's into modding stuff I was just amazed. The man I'm simply amazed and very impressed with PT. Okay, also there, I met Michael Gohagan. Wow, man is tall, I'm going to tell you. And nice gentleman. Met Tim Borkin, of course, from Podcast Brothers. And he's another real nice guy. I met Nick Bradbury from Feed Demon. You know how you picture somebody in your mind and you expect them one way, but they turn out different. I had Nick totally pictured wrong, and I kind of told him that, and he said, "What do you expect me to look like?" And we kind of laughed about that. But of course, a whole bunch of podcasters, Rob Greenlee, Annie McCaskey, a Podcast 411 host, the M Show, just to name a few. There was a whole bunch of people. I did get to meet Adam, talked with him just for a short time, not very long. And, you know, he was in and out of the conference center. He didn't spend a lot of time there. He was at one of the evening deals, basically, where we had our little evening function. And, but there was, a whole bunch of other people. Doug Kay from IT Conversations. And just, of course, met Dave Weiner. And just the list goes on and on. Too many to mention. I've got a stack of business cards all with notes on that I'm going to have to go through, but it was terrific. We're going to talk a little bit about GnomeDex sessions today. I'm going to kind of give you some rundown on that. Hey, iTunes version 4.9, rumor on the street is by the time you guys hear this podcast, it's going to be available. Adam said something kind of, he said it, made a real short comment either at the beginning of his keynote or before he started recording, saying something about Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Dave Weiner backed that up today on his web, on his podcast. So I really think that the iPod version 4.9, excuse me, iTunes version 4.9 is coming either today or tomorrow. I could be wrong. We'll see. You know, we've been stumped a couple of times in the last couple of weeks anyway. But hey, folks, I got a brand new deal for you here, okay? And check this out. It's $10 off on secure socket layer certificates. If you run a website, you know how important security is for transactions and information. SSL certificates are essential, and GoDaddy.com makes it oh so affordable to get the certificate that's just right for any site. Own trusted root up to 256-bit encryption. GoDaddy SSLs cost as little as $29.95 per year, plus, and this is the great deal. As being a listener, you get an additional $10 off on any SSL order. Just enter Geek 10, that's GEEK, and the number 10 as your source code to get that $10 off on any SSL certificate. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. Getting into some of the things that we found out at GnomeDex, and I'm going to load up if you guys have been reading my website, some of the stuff is, I'm going to expound a little bit upon that, and also go into some email first. I got an email from David, and he basically got a question for the show. And David, you basically want to know what's on your school ID card. I think what you need to do there, friend, is talk to your IT department. See if they'll tell you what's on there. I know you've got a concern on how much personal information is on your school ID card. I'm not going to give you basically, the information on how to scan that and find out what's actually on it. If you want to do that, just search on the internet a little bit. You're going to find information on how to, there's card readers out there, but, you're going to have to spend money to do that, but just why don't you go talk to your IT people? They should give you some advice on if you want to know exactly what's on your student ID card. Okay, from Carl. He's got a question. Basically, Carl, you are using Blogger and Feedburner to produce your podcast, and apparently something got messed up there, and you've dumped Blogger in favor of your old standby, and you're making your own homemade web blog posts, and you're doing your Siri, what else are you doing? I'm able to do 0.91 or 2.0 RSS speeds by saving some time by using Nuked RSS 2.0 program. And the question is, I'm losing a lot of promotional ability, or am I losing a lot of promotional ability by doing this homemade process as opposed to using Mobile Type or Blogger? I guess the only thing I can say there, Carl, is if you want to drive your page rank on your website, you're just going to have to continue to update the content on a regular basis and put new articles up. If you're only interested in focusing on a certain group of people and you're only putting a podcast up once in a while and you don't care about that that page rank and getting the search engines coming and updating your site more often, and I don't think you're really losing anything on promotional ability. It just makes it a little, I just think it makes it a little harder to update your site. I don't fully understand why Blogger was giving you some problems. But you know, the Blogger Feedburner combination should work. And, you know, Blogger gives you the capability of being able to update your site on a regular basis. So maybe send me another email back on exactly what the problem was with Blogger, okay? And, you know, if you're not super technically inclined on, you know, installing Mobile Type or using, you know, an application like that, because, you know, it does require a little bit of an install savvy, drop me a line, you know, just give me a little more info. But I don't think you're actually losing a promotional ability, because your promotional ability is going to be based on you going out and, you know, basically talking your site up on other sites and trying to get some, you know, some people to link to, et cetera. Okay, the big news happened on the first day was basically at Nomdex was the first announcement by Microsoft being that IE version 7.0 was going to have RSS enabled. And we talked a little bit about it on the, well, actually, I don't think we talked about it on the last show. Did we? No, we didn't, because it hadn't happened yet. But what they're going to do is basically this. Is when you get Internet Explorer version 7 and you're surfing the internet and you come to a site that has an RSS feed, it's going to auto-detect the feed on that site. And what it's going to do is it's going to, a button will come alive on the top of the browser tab or on the browser window, which will actually have a little plus sign. And it's going to act like a lot of the news aggregators do already. But what will happen is all you have to do is hit the plus button. And it will take that RSS feed, it'll suck it into a little form, and you can make a few minor changes to it and say okay to subscribe. And what that's going to do in IE version 7, before Longhorn, this is before Longhorn comes out, this will just be a standalone IE 7, is it will add that feed to a new directory in My Documents. And that directory is going to be called My Feeds. It's like you have My Pictures now. You're going to have something similar called My Feeds. So what they demonstrated there, along with developer who had already adopted his aggregator to use this inner functionality, was that the person that it's going to allow people to that don't know about RSS to be able to add feeds easier. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the web browser through the My Feeds window will actually be able to display those feeds as a be seamless. So they'll read like a web page will versus a you know, an extended markup language. It won't be all this gobbledygook on the page. You actually be able to read it kind of like you are able to read a Feedburner page. So, but those of you that are using aggregators, to go ahead and update to support the My Feeds directory. All that will happen is, all will happen there is, and the way the guy demonstrated it was, is he just said, update my feed list on his news aggregator, and it sucked the information in and updated his subscriptions on his news aggregator, which is pretty cool. Now, the thing that they're going to add to this is let's say you have a website and you have pictures on it and you want to share those pictures. Well, if people have your, if they've enabled some of the elements that Microsoft is suggesting, what will happen is not only will the IE version 7 pull in news feeds, it'll pull in pictures, lists like Amazon wish list, and as Amazon, if you know someone updates an Amazon wish list, it will automatically update the wish list. So it won't be like a static list that is stacked now, but it'll be almost a dynamic list. So this is the main thing that's going to happen with IE7. Now, there were some people there that complained about what Microsoft was going to do and said that, here you are coming up with your own standard again. You're going to suck all this information in. But the goal is ultimately, and I hope Microsoft really gets this right, is that the API that they're going to release and these extensions that they're going to release have been assigned Creative Commons license. So anyone can use them. It's not going to be locked in under a proprietary format that Microsoft has decided on. But some people want to be able to talk to that a little more. There wants to be two-way communications, and we don't know if that's going to be, if Microsoft is going to only have this to be a one-way conversation from the operating system to these feeds or these directories. So there is a little bit of concern on the interaction and what's going to happen there. And there's two sides of the fence there, okay, on what's going to, you know, what's going to happen. So all we have to do, and you know, this is a big step for Microsoft. So let's keep our fingers crossed that they work with the community. And you know, I think what's good about this is that basically IE7 will be out on the streets here shortly, or actually will be released shortly, supposedly, quote unquote. So it'll give us some time to play with it and allow developers to get their tools caught up. So that when Longhorn comes out and supposedly Longhorn is going to be, of course, what is Longhorn going to come out like 2012 or something, but it will give us the ability to, they're saying it's RSS is going to be native. It's going to be extremely well supported in Longhorn. So, this is good news on that part. Now, that almost led into, some other discussions that happened, later on. Believe that day, but I'll get into that in a few minutes. Now, Steve Gilmore and the Gilmore Gang, they did a recording there, and basically they covered some of the stuff that they've covered before. They discussed the history of podcasting. They talked about some of the discussions that Adam had with Apple and encouraging Apple to build a directory from the existing directory, and talked about some stuff with Dave. The show notes on basically what was covered as main topics are on my webpage, but it was nice to see Dave and Adam sitting beside each other, and it was very cordial, and they both were very complimentary to each other. And I'm sure if you have not listened to the Gilmore Gang yet, the latest one, I don't know if it's been put up. Someone was saying that it had not been put up on the internet yet. So if they haven't, go ahead and read my posting in my weblog, and you can get an idea of what was discussed. It was a pretty good 1 hour show. Now, Philip Tarone, of course, was doing demos at Gnomedex about how to hack an iPod and loading Podzilla on it, which was very cool. Another announcement that was made was that Make Magazine is going to be released in digital format. So those of you that are subscribed to Make Magazine can now get the magazine digitally along with paper form. I personally think that the Make Magazine is the best when you can put your hands on it, open on it, because they go into such detail on their little hacks and tricks and tips. I don't necessarily know if I want to do that on a computer, but it's going to be kind of cool to archive that stuff so I don't have to have a stack of Make Magazines laying around here forever and ever. Now, for those of you that did not hear Dave Weiner's keynote or Microsoft's keynote, if you go to the techpodcast.com site, we have those keynotes up online. Now, the audio quality is horrendous because I'll be honest, I had my laptops. We were all real tight. If you guys have seen any of the pictures that were at Gnomedex, there was like 300 people in this room. Everyone had a laptop. And So I had my little mini recorder set next to my laptop with a microphone sitting on top of it, pointed at the stage, and I was two rows from the stage. So, of course, you can hear me click, 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 clicking on my laptop as I'm typing weblog posts, instant messages, etc. So those two were pretty bad, those two recordings. But the second day, we actually were able to plug into the main mix board. Now, that was awesome because I've got some very amazing sessions that are just absolutely superb quality. And I put up tonight a dialogue that Julie Leong produced that I think every weblogger needs to hear. It talks about basically her dilemmas that she's had in blogging and talking about her life on her personal weblog, along with protecting her children, privacy issues, the whole nine yards. It is a dialogue that I think every weblogger needs to listen to. It's pretty amazing. I do have that up at techpodcast.com. That one went up this afternoon. So make sure you check that one out. That's an amazing one. But I've got at least 3 hours of content for you over there. The Dave Weiner keynote, which was okay. The Microsoft one, which was good. And, of course, Julie's. Now, Adam Curry's keynote that he gave at the ending of the session, I'm going to tell you, folks, it was like when he came on the stage and fired up his show and started chatting, it was like he brought the house down. He really did. And there was people like, I'm going to say there was people dancing in the aisleways because he put on a mashup and he encouraged everyone to get up, move around. And but I'll be honest with you. It was a honor to see him walking on a stage, and just, you can tell the man is a professional broadcaster. Very smooth, no hiccups. Now, I noticed he was a little nervous. There was some of us sitting in the front rows that actually noticed we saw his cheek twitch, or his something. He had a little bit of a twitch, and we thought, He was definitely nervous, but he read a prepared statement. Basically, his podcast was pre-prepared, and he didn't have to go back to the notes too much. He went back, but you could tell that he had worked on this. But he had a message, you know, and I think his message was important for the community. Now, I know that I'm going long today on GnomeDex material, but I want just to go through this so that you guys all... we'll get this out on my system now, and you guys will be better informed of what happened there. But he broke it into some basic comments, and one of them was he wants podcasters to take back the media. He wants us to, it's kind of like the personal media revolution. And I heard this 3 or 4 times from different people throughout the sessions. Was talking about the personal media revolution and where bloggers are having a major, major impact on the way news is spread, it's consumed, etc. Now, I think we all know that. And we know that blogging is simply a communications medium. And it's not necessarily a marketing medium, but it is definitely a communications medium. And we know that podcasting is embracing music as far as the... here I am drawing a blank. The indie folks, okay? So, you know, we know that there's some change afoot there. But, you know, we just basically, if podcasters continue to do what we're doing and webloggers continue to do what we're doing, you know, we're changing the face of media. Now, that being said, I think that was kind of the gist of his podcast or his keynote, and you've all probably heard it already on show 200. But it was pretty cool to see that go down and listen to his prepared or his for his comments on his show. Now, what else did I see? Oh, I saw a real cool application. It's called Mind Manager, which is available at mindjet.com. For those of you that are doing development work, whether it be a product, a project, any type of thing that you're trying to do to build a list of decision processes, and this is a product that I would not mind have sitting on my desktop. because it allows you as a group, it's best working in groups to organize projects and plans and things that you need. But go over to MindJet and check out this product, Mind Manager. And I don't know if they've got a free trial version or not. If they do, you need to download it. Now, it works real good with tablets, but you can use it on a regular desktop. And it's an application that that I'm very, very impressed with. Okay, one of the other sessions that I got a lot out of, and actually I got fired up a little bit, and I had some questions I directed at the Bob Wyman from PubSub. But they had a session called Tomorrow's RSS. And on the session, or on the panel, was Mark Fletcher, the CEO of Blogline, Scott Raffer from Feedster, and Bob Wyman for PubSub. And Bob Wyman said that Atom is going to be the king of aggregation in years forward. And I basically said, I don't think so. I had made a comment when I got the hold of the mic that basically said, I said, you know, RSS is still running, I think, on this personal of Geek News Central's website, at least, is running like 97% of the commentary. And, you know, that's 97% of the people are pulling RSS via that, or versus the Atom feed. But he seems to think that Atom has a much bigger growth. Now, he may be right there, but right now, RSS is king. There's no doubt in my mind. That's the way it is right now. And with the Atom folks, you know, the Atom folks, that evolved from, you know, some people being upset at Dave Weiner. Now, Dave has said that he is not going to take RSS 2.0 any further. I think that's one of the public statements he's made before. But here we go. We've got Microsoft that is introducing these new extensions. So there is going to be some movement, and people are going to expand RSS on their own, and we're already starting to see that where there are some new extensions and that are going into place for the RSS 2.0 spec. So I guess we'll see what happens on that front. But they did talk about RSS advertising, and their point was that there is no way, no how, services like Blogline, Feedster, and PubSub can survive without RSS ads, and they want to know, you know, they don't necessarily think that the way RSS ads are being employed in content right now is the way it should be. So they're asking for feedback from the community. If you have an idea on how ads should be placed in RSS feeds, you need to speak up and maybe send an email to Bob Wyman at PubSub and tell him what you think. Because they're asking the community, how should we do this? And, you know, my big beef with the way ads are now in RSS feeds is it breaks up my reading. You know, I'll see an article, some text, RSS ad. Article, text, RSS ad. There has to be a better way to form that. And if that means having the aggregator people change the way to display information, be it put the content, you know, kind of deform it like they do on a web page now, where they stick the ad off to the side so it doesn't interrupt your reading habit, there may be a way there. But if you've got some ideas, they're asking for input, basically, because they're looking input from the community, and they're saying they can't do it. And my whole point was, I said, I use PubSub, I use Feedster, and I use Bloglines. Actually, I don't use Bloglines very much, but I use Technorati, Feedster, and PubSub. I would pay for a subscription, but I'm a power user. You know, I have dozens of PubSub search terms. Same thing with Technorati, because I like watching certain commentaries in the space from that are being posted up on weblogs. So maybe I'm one of the few people that would actually pay for the service, but I definitely would. Okay, I'm going to go up here and look at what else. There was an amazing session on Tomorrow's Media. And that panel was hosted by J.D. Lasica, Terry Heaton, and Corey Bergman. Now, here's a skinny on J.D. Lasica. He is heavily involved in Our Media. I believe it's ourmedia.org. They're basically allowing people to upload audio and video. That is all being, all that information is being uploaded into the Internet Archive. And right now, ourmedia.org is responsible for 50% of the traffic originating at the Internet Archive. And last week, they introduced a new tool. It used to take, when you sent a video or audio file to the Internet Archive via ourmedia.org, it would take 2 or 3 days for that file to show up because of the process the Internet Archive had. So what they have done, and this is what's really cool, they have worked with the Internet Archive, and now when you submit an audio or video file from our media to from our media, it gets into the Internet Archive just as quick as an FTP upload. Within 5 or 10 minutes, the file is available. So this is huge in such a way that you can do relative content. Let's say you want to video blog something, and let's say you video blog an accident and you don't have, or you video blog something that's newsworthy, and you don't have the bandwidth to support the type of downloads that's going to result from pointing people at that video feed. Well, with this mechanism in place now, you can almost upload video files and have the same distribution method as a podcast, in a sense. Now, I have not used our media at all, but I'm going to go over and check it out and see if there's any, what the implications are for podcasters. I know that they have audio, you know, a lot of audio programs that they're hosting. So, and they do, he did state that they need moderators, volunteers, and people that like to tell stories. So, if you like to tell stories via video or audio, you may want to check that out. Now, Corey Bergman discussed how television is starting to see a rapid decline in ad revenue. And he had a graph he put up on the screen where it showed television ads going in a steep curve down and internet advertising going a steep curve up. But there was a convergence zone, whereas they feel that advertising is losing, leaving television faster than it's coming on board for internet advertising. So they think that there's going to be, he thinks it's going to be very, very difficult for TV to stay profitable. And which means that there could be downsizing in the TV industry soon. So what this led to was a discussion by Terry Heaton, who talked about a station he's working with out in Nashville. Station is WKRN. And what they have done, and this is, I think this is really, really amazing. This is kind of reverting back to kind of things, how things were in the past, is that they launched a website called Nashville 411. And this is a news site that's not affiliated with the TV station. But what's amazing about that Nashville 411 site is that they worked with the local blogging community, invited them in, and actually hired a local blogger to run another site called Nashville is Talking. So if you go over to Nashville411.com, and let's see here, what's the actual link for Nashville is Talking? It's actually NashvilleIsTalking.com. It contains local aggregated content that is being, you know, stuff that is being aggregated and written by local bloggers. And they actually are doing a local aggregation of that data. And they got this gal that was a local blogger sitting in the newsroom that doesn't answer to anyone. She can write whatever she wants. And they're having great success with it. Now, what's interesting is that WKRN, this local affiliate there in Nashville that's done this, was an absolute dead last place in all ratings. So they were desperate. You know, they said, whatever we can do. So I think you're going to see a convergence in where local television stations, local media, are going to start reaching out a little more to the local community. Now, WKRN made all of their newscasters and anchors all start blogging, and they're writing part of their news stories online. So I think this is encouraging. He goes into a lot more detail, obviously, in the audio file. I do have that audio file. I have not put that up on the website yet. I've got to do a little editing to it. Cutting out some stuff at the beginning, and there was JD likes to use flavor. How should we say it? Language that is not appropriate for Tech Podcast Network. So I have to go through and edit that so that We don't break our policy of producing G-rated and educational shows for the network. So we'll get that up as soon as I get it edited and I get the beeps put in where they need to be. We'll get that up for you, and you guys can listen to that show. I have 35 minutes. I'm still on Gnome Dex. Oh, my goodness. Maybe a Gnome Dex only show tonight, folks. Okay, I guess the last one that I'll talk about here is, actually, we've got some subjects that we've got to cover yet tonight, is Steve Rubel and Chris Loop. Steve Rubel, I really respect his writing. He is a PR person. And he made a comment that Steve says that blogging is public relations with candor. Now, I agree with that completely. And I made a comment on my website that I took a lot of heat for that says, I said that all companies should just fire all of their PR people, and they would be better off hiring part-time bloggers, short-term bloggers, as the marquee people did, to do a pay-to-blog program where they go in and examine the company, give them feedback, positive and negative. And basically, the pushback I got was basically saying that my comments that PR people are all evil. And I didn't say evil, but that's, you know, some comments came back that said, you know, you don't understand what PR people do today. And I think my response was that, you know, no matter what, if you're a public relations person for a company, your job is to make that company look good and to make me drink the Kool-Aid that your company's trying to push forward. Okay? There are very few companies out there that, with the likes of Robert Scoble, who basically can say, you know, he is a Microsoft evangelist. But how many times have you seen Robert Scoble publicly criticize his employer? And he is paid to evangelize for Microsoft, okay? Think about that a little bit, okay? He is a PR person that, you know, I'm sure he has some constraints, but he is a PR person that is doing things right. And a lot more companies could learn from the Robert Scoble model. And, you know, I got to meet Robert. He's a great guy. You know, he's just as nice and warm and friendly, very personable. Just wholeheartedly a nice guy. And, you know, the whole crowd there, it was amazing. It was open. People were sharing. Sometimes you feel uncomfortable going to one of these events, especially if it's your first time, because you're kind of the new guy and you walk in, you don't know anybody, and you're looking at name tags. And of course, I'm looking at names, and then thank goodness they had weblogs, typed on the name tags underneath. Cause if they hadn't, I'd have been in real trouble, because some of the people I really did not know that well. And, but it was good. It was, regardless, it was really, really, really good, conference. Okay. Let me see here. What else have I got? I'm looking at some notes that I have written down here. The Hive made an announcement. I'll put a link up to it. They did a very comical skit introducing their product. We already talked about the personal media revolution. I guess J.D. Lasica said that along with Adam. Let's see here, who else? I guess that's it on the Gnome Dex side. Probably going to run out of time before I get through everything I want to tonight. But let's see here. Let me look here. Oh, the Audible folks Audible.com made an announcement. And I'll be honest with you. I got pitched a whole bunch by a whole bunch of people on different schemes, different podcast marketing ideas, and some of them are going to work and some of them aren't. The Audible people, well, everything that they do, you know, if you're an Audible user, everything is tied to digital rights management. And I guess what they're going to do is they're going to have like a three-tier process for anybody that has an Audible account. You're going to be able to produce content that's going to be freely available, some that can be restricted. But the main thing is, and this is a pitch I keep hearing from all these companies, and they're not just Audible, but everyone, they're saying, well, we can tell you to a T who your listeners are, how many people are actually downloading your shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about the marketing and knowing who you are. So here's a little fair warning to all of you out there that are listening to this show. companies want to know who you are, your demographic, the whole nine yards, so that they can market to you. And I guess we're all used to being marketed to. And if you look at what you get in your mailbox every day, you kind of get an idea how well companies are targeting you. Now, obviously, with the sponsorship I have here from GoDaddy, you know, you're all tech users. We expect that some of you will need tech services from GoDaddy. So it's, in a sense, kind of targeted. But some of these companies want to take it a little more deeper. And in that, they want to, on a subscriber, per subscriber basis, they want to be able to focus an ad towards you. Now, I don't know how they're going to get all that information. And it's got to be somewhat through tracking with cookies and all of that. And I tell you what, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. All right. You know, I would love to be able to put something together where, you know, we could set up a way for you guys to subscribe to multiple feeds for the stuff over at techpodcast.com. But on the second hand, that means making people sign up. And I just don't feel comfortable with that at this point. And I don't know. But anyway, keep an eye on the space. We'll see what happens in that mode. But a lot of companies are coming. Some have great intentions. Some have great products. Some have great backing. But I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable on some of the things that I heard. But I think what Audible's doing is great. But what I'm thinking is, though, I don't know how they're going to compete, being that putting your podcast or putting content up online today is so easy for anyone that it can just be put up. You know, there's not going to be there's no barrier to entry. For $5 a month, you can have a Libsyn account. And, you know, for a few dollars, you can have a weblog. You know, so the barrier to entry is almost nothing. So I guess time will tell. Okay, we're at 42 minutes. I'm done talking about Gnomedex. But the big news today, of course, on the tech scene is the Supreme Court has said that the Supreme Court has sided with the movie and music mafia. And I am thoroughly disappointed that this is the decision that they made. They basically came out and said today that file sharing services can be sued and held liable even though they are not the ones doing the sharing. And basically, it's because the P2P developers have not put in any functions in their software to prevent digital right managed control songs, music, videos, whatever it may be, from being shared. Now, I know what's going on. You know how this is, it's total insanity, because people are, even let's say you download a file from Apple iTunes, okay? You put that on your iPod, you're out cruising around, you get a P2P program, you said, I'd like to share that song. Not saying that that's right, but that's what people do. How do I get the digital rights management stuff removed from that? It's not difficult. You just go on the internet, find some tools. Next thing you know, you've got a clean MP3 file with no DRM in it. It is copyrighted. It's not supposed to be shared, but let's say you share it, okay? Is that the fault of BitTorrent? Is that the fault of Grokster? Is that the fault of any of these other P2P applications? So what's going to happen now is, if any developer creates a P2P-like application, the MPAA and the RIAA can immediately stomp on you, squash you, and they're going to stifle innovation, okay? So people that have created the tools that I use for legitimate purposes, like BlogTorrent, which we use to seed our torrent feed for the podcast, they're now basically going to be held liable for the sharing of commercial, copyrighted, controlled music, videos, etc. It's just a travesty, and it's got some major fair use implications. I'm not necessarily surprised, but here's what you can do, folks. You're going to have to get a little bit radical. You're going to have to get mad. Simply don't buy any product. Don't buy any product that the RIAA or MPAA is aligned with. Now, I know that's tough. Some of you love buying DVDs. Some of you love buying CDs. Some of you love buying the top 40 music. Okay? You know, they are going to, no matter what, do whatever it takes to stop, to absolutely flat out stop any peer-to-peer stuff that's going on. It's going to live, but it's going to live in the underground. Now, maybe I'm being a little bit overreactionary. We'll see what's going to happen down the road. But I think you're going to see a stifling of innovation. People are going to be not willing to innovate and have any type of programs that do any file sharing unless it has that absolute dreaded digital rights management built in. And I think companies that are based around digital rights management are probably, you know, they're probably going to benefit a little bit in the meantime. But I don't buy into it. I really, really don't. Okay. What else I have? We're going to run long. We're going to run really long tonight because I talked a lot about GNOME decks. And guess what? That's the way it's going to have to be, okay? And I don't really have that much. I knew I was going to spend a lot of time on the GNOME decks conversation, but I'm going through here and looking at now the on the science news, the NASA craft that's going to be the Deep Impact spacecraft is still on its way to have that head-on collision on the 4th of July. So they're all now predicting what the fireworks are going to look like. And some are saying that the impact could increase the visibility or the brightness of that object by like 40 times. So we'll see. But some people are getting excited. And there's some cool videos out there today, too, that NASA has produced that shows what this is going to look like. Okay, I do have some links for some of the stuff that the IE7 team talked about on their simple list extension specification. And some stuff from Longhorn, we'll put that up. On the Google News front today, they have launched an online video playback component. So now you can actually, you know, the Google has been archiving video for a while. So now you can actually play that video that has been allowed to be shared. The ones that had that, you know, was uploaded, people said they could share it. They have a thing where you can now view it online. So that was kind of cool. Video. See, it was at video.google.com, I believe. Okay. All right, what else do I have here? I got an article that I'm trying to load up that won't load. I found a pretty cool podcast. It's called the Info Talk Podcast at podtech.net. And this is a gentleman by name of John Furrier. He has some pretty good stuff up. He got some time with the Podfather and along with the Microsoft team. So he got some time to, I don't know how much time, but it's good to have connections, I guess. Okay, let's see here. Also, there's a little bit more in the news about Yahoo and their alignments they're making with, we talked about this before, the alignments they're making with the major newspapers and stuff to have information, you know, basically news and feeds that are normally held behind a firewall of all these news organizations that charge for their content. So that continues to develop. Cast Blaster has been, for those of you that are podcasters out there, Adam has released Podcaster to the general public. If you want to pay for it, it's $50. So I am going to be, I actually downloaded it, I registered it, and I'm going to actually test it out here. So I'll let you know how Cast Blaster is and see if that's going to help some of you that are looking for an all-in-one solution. I know that there's a bunch out there. Mixcast Live, I know that there has been a lot of work done on Mixcast Live, and I really like what he's done there with the integration and how he's got the hosting solution built into that. So there's two you can check out, Mixcast Live and, of course, Adam Curry's Cast Blaster. Okay, there is a real good write-up, and if you're into RSS, there's a write-up by on the Carnage for Life space weblog. I'll put a link up to this so that you guys that are really heavy into RSS can get a perspective from a RSS developer. I found some pictures of GNOME decks I'm going to put up on the site, link that up. found a new weblog today, and it's looks like it's very promising. It's from Weblogs Incorporated. It is downloadsquad.com. Lots of cool tech information there. Great start for the first day. And I just wonder here what, you know, these guys, they just keep adding more and more branded content. So it looks like the Weblogs Inc. people are looking to capitalize on that space. Nick Bradbury has made a change to his feed station. Basically, it's over at NewsGator Online. You can now use feed station. Basically, those of you that are using FeedDemon, you know that FeedDemon has been bought by NewsGator. And those two products are starting to merge together. And you now can sync podcasts. Basically, if you're at work and you're using the online version of NewsGator and you add a site as a form, you know, to pick up the enclosures, it'll automatically update your PC when it's sitting at home running. So I thought that's pretty cool, and it will pull down stuff while you're gone so that you'll be able to sync stuff up when you get home. So those of you that are not allowed really to run custom applications on your desktops can do that with the FeedDemon/NewsGator combination. Okay, Mitch Radcliffe, who is a co-host on Web Talk Radio, has got a post up about the web talk that we did on Rob Greenlee's show the other night after GnomeDex. Okay, but that's all I'm going to discuss about GnomeDex. I guess if you have any personal questions or you want clarifications on something, I may take those comments. All right, we're going to get back into the book giveaway mode. And for those of you that are out there that are interested in what happened at GnomeDex and can point me at something juicy that someone may have said, I'd like to find out some of the hottest content, or for my personal use, I'd like to find out some of the, if you guys can find out some of the commentary that podcasters made and point me at that, I would appreciate it. It doesn't matter how you find it. If you use Technorati or whatever, if you send me a list of cool links of what podcasters were saying about GnomeDex and any gossip that they may have scored, or if you've heard any gossip out there, send that in to me. And whoever sends me the best and coolest links from GnomeDex podcasters, you're going to score a book. So all the books shipped, they're all gone. Everyone that had won one is has been shipped. There's a few of you that did not send me your address, and I've got emails out to you. So be on the lookout for those things. They should be in your mailbox this week, okay? So I've got books coming out of my ears here at the house, and if anybody, if you don't get them within a week, you need to send me an email immediately, but they should be there with you. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I know, again, tonight we're a little more unorthodox, not too much tech talk, a lot of GnomeDex talk, and I hope that you're able to get a little information out of the kind of my wrap-up and summary for the show. We're going to be putting up some more audio files over at techpodcast.com, so you can check those out over the next few days. We'll get those edited up. You can contact me here at Geek at geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can send voicemail at 619-342-7365. And I've got some voicemail from I got a voicemail from a listener down in Australia. And he wanted to know if the podcasting book, if he could get it in PDF format. It's available as a digital download. And it is, and I know you are sight impaired. So you can use, screen readers and stuff to listen to that. So that is available via Amazon, via digital download. And I'll have some more comments on some voicemails that I've got that I just did not get to. But next time you'll be buying a cell phone, ask for Windows Mobile. Make sure that your next cell phone will have on its back a Windows Mobile logo. Cell phones powered by Windows Mobile from Microsoft offer many unique features not available for Palm OS or Symbian-based phones. And to get the latest news and a lot more resources about Windows Mobile phones, please visit www.msmobiles.com. We're at 55 minutes. I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. We'll be back to our normal, absolutely normal format on Friday. And that's it, folks. And keep the comments coming. I thank you for being a dedicated listener. No music tonight. And we'll see you on Friday. Aloha.